moments of vision, that mirror which makes of men a transparency, who holds that mirror, and bids us such a breast-bare spectacle see of you and me? That mirror whose magic penetrates like a dart, who lifts that mirror and throws our mind back on us, and our heart, until we start? That mirror works well in these night hours of ache. Why in that mirror are tints we never see ourselves once take, when the world is awake? That mirror can test each mortal when unaware. Yea, that strange mirror may catch his last thoughts, whole life foul or fair, glassing it where. The voice of things, 40 Augusts I, and several more ago, when I paced the headlands loosed from dull employ, the waves huzzed like a multitude below in the sway of an all-including joy without cloy. Blankly I walked there a double decade after, when thwarts had flung their toils in front of me, and I heard the waters wagging in a long ironic laughter at the lot of men, and all the vapory things that be. Wheeling change has set me again standing, where once I heard the waves huzza at Lammas tide, but they supplicate now like a congregation there who murmur the confession I outside, prayer denied. Why be at pains? Wooer's song? Why be at pains, that I should know you sought not me? Do breezes, then, make features glow so rosily? Come, the lit port is at our back, and the tumbling sea, elsewhere the lampless uphill track to uncertainty. Oh, should not we two waifs join hands? I am alone, you would enrich me more than lands by being my own. Yet, though this facile moment flies, close as your tone, and ere tomorrow's dewfall dries I plow the unknown. We sat at the window, Bournemouth, 1875. We sat at the window looking out, and the rain came down like silken strings that swiftens day. Each gutter and spout babbled unchecked in the busy way of witless things. Nothing to read, nothing to see seemed in that room for her and me on swiftens day. We were irked by the scene, by our own selves. Yes, for I did not know, nor did she infer how much there was to read, and guess by her in me, and to see, and crown by me in her. Wasted were two souls in their prime, and great was the waste, that July time when the rain came down. Afternoon service at Mellstock, circa 1850. On afternoons of drowsy calm we stood in the paneled pew, singing one voiced a Tate and Brady psalm to the tune of Ambridge New. We watched the elms, we watched the rooks, the clouds upon the breeze, between the whiles of glancing at our books, and swaying like the trees. So mindless were those outpourings. Though I am not aware that I have gained by subtle thought on things, since we stood psalming there. At the wicket gate, there floated the sounds of church chiming, but no one was nigh, till there came, as a break in the loneness, her father, she, I. And we slowly moved on to the wicket, and down looking stood, till anon people passed, and amid them, we parted for good. Greater, wiser, may part there than we three who parted there then, but never will fate's colder featured hold sway there again. Of the churchgoers through the still meadows no single one knew what a play was played under their eyes there as thence we withdrew. In the museum, I hears the mold of a musical bird long past from light, which over the earth before man came was winging. There's a contralto voice I heard last night, that lodges in me still with its sweet singing. Too, such a dream is time, that the coo of this ancient bird has perished not, but is blent, or will be blending mid visionless wilds of space with the voice that I heard, in the full fugued song of the universe unending. Exeter. Apostrophe to an old psalm tune. I met you first, when did I first meet you? When I was full of wonder, and innocent, standing meek-eyed with those of Chorick bent, while dimming day grew dimmer in the pulpit glimmer. Much riper in years I met you in a temple, where summer sunset streamed upon our shapes, and you spread over me like a gauze that drapes, and flapped from floor to rafters, sweet as angels' laughters. But you had been stripped of some of your old vesture by monk, or another. Now you wore no frill, and at first you startled me. But I knew you still, though I missed the minim's waver, and the dotted quaver. I grew accustomed to you thus. And you hailed me through one who evoked you often. Then at last the eraser was torn off, and I mourned you had passed from my life with your late outsetter, till I said, 'Tis better.' But you waylaid me. I rose and went as a ghost goes, and said, 'Eyes full, LL never hear it again. It is over much for scathed and memoried men, when sitting among strange people under their steeple. Now, a new stir of tones calls you up before me, and wakes your speech, as she of Ender did, when sought by Saul who, in disguises hid, fell down on the earth, to hear it, Samuel's spirit. So, your quired oracles beat till they make me tremble as I discern your mean in the old attire, here in these turmoiled years of belligerent fire living still on and onward, maybe, till doom's great day be. Sunday, August 13th, 1916. At the word, farewell, she looked like a bird from a cloud on the clammy lawn, moving alone, bare-browed in the dim of dawn. The candles alight in the room for my parting meal made all things without doors loom strange, ghostly, unreal. The hour itself was a ghost, and it seemed to me then, as of chances the chance furthermost I should see her again. I beheld not where all was so fleet, that a plan of the past which had ruled us from birth time to meet, was in working at last. No prelude did I there perceive to a drama at all, or foreshadow what fortune might weave from beginnings so small, but I rose, as if quick by a spur I was bound to obey, and stepped through the casement to her still alone in the gray. I am leaving you. Farewell. I said, as I followed her on by an alley bare boughs overspread. Soon must be gone. Even then the scale might have been turned against love by a feather, but crimson one cheek of hers burned, when we came in together. First sight of her, and after, a day is drawing to its fall I had not dreamed to see, the first of many to enthrall my spirit, will it be? Or is this eve the end of all such new delight for me? I journey home. The pattern grows of moonshades on the way. Soon the first quarter, I suppose, sky-glancing travelers say, I realize that it, for those, has been a common day. The rival, I determined to find out whose it was the portrait he looked at so, and sighed. Bitterly have I rued my meanness, and wept for it since he died. I searched his desk when he was away, and there was the likeness, yes, my own. Taken when I was the season's fairest, and timelines all unknown. I smiled at my image, and put it back, and he went on cherishing it, until... Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.